Hello to you, and thank you for tuning in again for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Before listening to today's interview, well, I totally invite you to go get your free gift at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com. And what you will get there is 27 simple marketing strategies to help you skyrocket your online business in the next 6 months. So just go there at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com and it's completely free. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 232.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabien Raphael.
This week's interview is with Selena Hsu, and we'll talk about a couple of things like branding, like getting on major publications, like how you should name your business after your name or after something else. We talk about several interesting things, and I'm sure you'll be delighted by this interview. So we'll listen to it, and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, our guest is Selena Hsu, and she's a business and publicity strategist. She's also the creator of Impacting Millions, an online program and community for experts, authors, and coaches looking to elevate their brands, reach more people, and change the world through the power of publicity. She's also a seven-figure business owner and is passionate about helping mission-driven entrepreneurs grow their revenues and their impact. So, Selena, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Fabian. I am thrilled to be here.
Well, let's start with the basics, actually, because branding is such a word that is misunderstood by a lot of people. So just tell me in your words what branding is and what are the core elements to respect so it's consistent and represent truly who someone is.
Absolutely. So when I think of branding, it's really, you know, what people are saying about you when you're not in the room, how people think of you. So there's so many different aspects to branding. One aspect of branding, like you said, is consistency. But I also think that as entrepreneurs, our brands evolve over time. Fabienne, you probably experienced this with the people that you help, but you know, they originally start with an idea, and over time, as their businesses grow, there's things about their brand and business that changes. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton that I can say in regards to branding, but you know, when I think about personal brand, some of the key things that I think are important to think about is, you know, what is your mission? How are you here to make a difference? That's really key. So your why, because people are drawn to why you're doing something, the reason behind it. So that's always important. I think stories are really huge because people connect with stories. It's what they remember. Personality is a major aspect of branding. And then I would also say affiliations are something that I believe are really important to personal brands. So affiliations are other people or brands that you're connected to. So as entrepreneurs, our affiliations may be with our mentors, other clients, media that we get, and so forth. But those are the key things that I focus on when I think about brand.
And some people sometimes, especially when they're starting their online business, they're a bit confused about, should I name my business out of my own name or should I have another name for my business? And how will this influence my brand? So what would you answer to someone trying to fit in or see which name they would choose for their online business?
Sure. I think maybe this is not the answer that you may be expecting, but it's just kind of what I think is I don't really think that matters very much. when I started my business, my brand was S2 Group, and it still is, you know, I mean, I still, that's the official name of the business and so forth, but I called it S2 Group because I didn't know how my business would evolve over time. I didn't know if I'd be having lots of other consultants or coaches working under me and so forth. So I just wanted something broad and frankly a bit vague because, you know, when I started my business day one, I wasn't really comfortable with, you know, selinasue.com, because I guess I was still figuring out who I was, and I felt like I was a beginner in business. I felt like, you know, a bit, I felt like it was bold to kind of have my brand name as my business. And so, you know, when I entered, I guess about year four into my business, I changed it. But it doesn't really matter. Like when people think about my business, they do think about me because I am the one who is teaching and coaching and consulting and sharing my ideas and so forth. So I think that this is something that people agonize over a lot about, like, what should I call my business? Should it be my name or a different name? What if it changes? What if I change? And honestly, I think in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter because you can always change it later. I think what's been most important in my business is people knowing like about the quality in which I do things, the care that I take in taking care of my clients, helping my students and so forth. So I know for my own business, people are drawn to, I guess, me as an individual and how I take care of my students and clients. And then also, you know, results and what I'm able to make possible for people. So it's really those two things. And while the brand name, you know, can matter to an extent, it's really, I mean, I don't think it's the deciding factor at all when it comes to sales or anything. So, you know, good question, because it comes up all the time. People always ask me this question, but I really don't think it's like a major needle mover in the business.
And as you say, bottom line, people do business with people. So either if your business is named out of your name or something else, I mean, they're dealing with you. So they evaluate the relationship they have with you. They evaluate like how you can really help them and what value you bring to their life or to their business. So basically, it's not like it used to be before where people were very huge on credentials or reputation or how many years you're in business and stuff like that. I think that now people are more aware of who you are, how authentic you are, and of course, how you truly want to help others instead of just like paying attention to, let's say, the big brand name, for example.
Absolutely. And I think that everybody's brand is different. So for some people, their years of experience is going to be more significant. I mean, you know, if someone has been, I don't know, like a psychotherapist for 20 years, or they are somebody who is a connector and they've got 20 years worth of relationships or 10 years. I mean, that's significant. It's something worth emphasizing. But with everyone, their credentials are going to be different, and the things that people are going to be drawn to are different. So I think really you've got to get clear on, you know, why are people already coming to you? I actually, someone in my network, her name's Maru, and she has a program called Infinite Receiving, and she had a challenge, and one of the prompts was to post, you know, what do you appreciate about me? And so getting feedback from other people, and it was really interesting to see like what people were writing. Because sometimes in your mind, you know, you may think, okay, this is why people are coming to me. But then this is why I'm drawn to you. And I think also when you are offering different, you know, paid programs, you or you could just ask your list in general. But I know that when I offer paid programs, I will have a questionnaire that goes out shortly after people have made the purchase saying, hey, I'm curious, like, why did you sign up for the program? Why did you choose to learn from me specifically? So that second question, why did you choose to learn from me specifically, really tells you a lot about what people think about you and the brand, and what is it about you and the brand that caused them to make that purchasing decision, which is gold. It's so important to know that for your business. And no one can really, you know, tell you that. I mean, you need to get feedback from many people, but, you know, it's not like you just ask a coach, what is my brand? It's something that you need to figure out by surveying and asking your audience and the people around you. And you definitely want to get multiple opinions on that.
Exactly. And you might get some surprises also. You might think that people come to you for a reason, and then it's completely something else that you haven't thought of.
Absolutely. Like an example I'll share is I have a program called Get Known, Get Clients, and it's a 6-month program that's $3,000. And we thought that, you know, what we really, to make the program more successful, what we really want to do is want to sell the system, you know, the get known, get client system, the step process. But as we were, you know, surveying the audience and going through questionnaires and just talking to people and finding out why they joined, the reason why they joined the program was because they wanted to hang out with me for 6 months. And you know, it's like they wanted me to be their mentor and their friend. And they feel like I am very connected to the students that join my program. And so, you know, a lot of times when we think about scaling, we think about, okay, well, with a personal brand, like, you know, I mean, how far can you scale that? You know, you're just one person and so forth. And isn't it better to just have like a system and you can plug kind of any person, like assistant coach or whatever, into the system? And, you know, something that I was thinking about, you know, like, for example, Weight Watchers is a broad brand. It's not connected to a single person. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many other brands that are these bigger brands and ideas. But with where I am in my business right now, and maybe it will always be like this, but I found that people are really drawn, you know, to being supported by me specifically versus just this larger concept. Mm-hmm. And so I find that, you know, in the beginning of our business, like we all know, or most of us know, the importance of personal branding. And as we grow our businesses and, you know, we hit our six figures, multi six figures and seven figures, and then we're like finding, okay, I'm the one stunting my growth because there's only one of me, you know?
Yeah.
We think about, okay, are there other ways to scale the business and the brand? But, and it's something worth thinking about. And there's different things that I've done to support that. But I have found that, you know, I did a good job of building my personal brand, that people feel connected to that. And so, you know, if you try to think, okay, I'm just trying to scale, so let me take myself outside of the business, and you just remove that brand, and it's like less high touch, the business could, you know, it could plummet. You might get very, you know, negative result from doing that. So it's really interesting.
And then from that survey, Selena, have you changed anything, or did you bring more of yourself or the way you're connected with so many people up front because you knew this is the reason why people would sign in with you for a program, for example?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, you know, keep that in mind. Like when we do our webinars and we're talking about the program, I know what points to hit because I know it really resonates with people. And, you know, I think our branding and our messaging for our programs has been really strong. We were thinking about tweaking it and making it less about me. But when we realized that that is what is really working very well, we thought, okay, let's not change it.
Exactly.
We've got something that works.
Yeah, you have that proof. Now I'm curious to know because, again, people always want to expand their reach when they're starting their online business and they want to connect with the media, the well-known blogs or the well-known publications. And I guess that there's a good time to do it and there's a bad time to do it. So if someone is building their brand and they want to reach out to the popular medias, is there a certain way to do it? And when do they know that they're ready to do it?
Sure. So I think that, you know, media can be valuable at all stages of business. For me personally, I remember when I got my first article online, which was on Forbes, which is kind of crazy. It was the day that my website first launched. So I was getting, you know, media right away. And then after that, you know, Huffington Post and all sorts of podcasts and things like that. So I think that sometimes people think they need to wait years and years. You really can get started right away. Sometimes people think, you know, I need tons of clients before I pursue media. And I mean, I guess it also depends on what kind of media you're pursuing. But let's say you're a health coach and you have overcome some major challenges, a huge health crisis, and you've studied with all these top teachers and mentors, and you have this system and methodology, and maybe you've just been helping people for free so far because you haven't set up your business, but you've still created transformation in people, you've created transformation in your own life. You know, you're ready to go on podcasts and share your story, because your story can still help a lot of people, even though you haven't technically been in business for years and years and years. So I think that the mistake that people make is just, you know, thinking that they need to wait until forever. However, you know, there may be times where it is a bit more strategic to get media than others. I do think, though, that from the get-go, it is valuable to get a couple of media hits. And you can include the media that you get on your website, you know, links to the articles or the podcast interviews or the media logos. You can include it in your nurture sequence. When people join your list, they can, you know, access that content from you. So I think that it's always good to have like a little bit of media from the get-go. But I also understand the idea of maybe, you know, there's certain periods where you really kind of ramp up your media efforts. So for me, I generally do like podcast interviews, for example, specifically during the times when I'm looking to engage more with my audience and when I'm looking to launch something down the road. I'm not doing like every single month, like a series of podcast interviews. I do it during key times of year. And I think that that is smart for a lot of people to consider that. I mean, you want to have baseline, you know, a couple of media hits for sure. I think that's ideal. And media is basically, it's just a way of sharing your content with, you know, through a platform with larger audiences of people, with a third party. So we all want to have that. But I think that, you know, if you've got a book coming out or if you're launching a program or you're really looking to fill your one-on-one practice and you really want people to know who you are and what you're doing, that would be the time to really step it up and secure more media opportunities.
And how would you say out of the box should someone be to get media attention, for example? And would you have an example of what you have done as like the most out of the box possible in order to get some attention from, let's say, a huge media?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because I don't think people necessarily need to do anything out of the box. I mean, you certainly can, and sometimes it's effective, but sometimes it's going to not be effective and it could hurt your outreach. So, I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that people are always looking for an interesting story. They're always looking for valuable how-to advice to help people improve their lives. And there are literally, you know, hundreds, thousands of media opportunities that are available to us. And so, I mean, I recommend, you know, sending an email pitch. That really is the best way to reach out. I mean, you know, theoretically, there's lots of things you could do. You could kind of reach out to someone on Twitter. You could create a video. You could do all sorts of things. But email is usually best for people to receive information about you. And in terms of the pitch, you know, you want to share a little bit about who you are and some credibility markers so they can see you as someone who is an expert or who just really knows their stuff. And then what you want to do is you want to share your story ideas. So a lot of times when people pitch, the mistake that they make is they talk about topics. So they're like, oh, I would like to come onto your show and talk about women in entrepreneurship, or I'd like to write an article about, you know, women in self-care, or millennials and money. And that's very broad. That's a topic. But people in the media, as you know yourself, because you've got your own podcast, you're looking for specific story ideas, interesting things that you can share with your audience, you know, powerful takeaways, you know, steps to achieving a certain goal. And so when you're pitching, you really want to have your story ideas front and center in your pitch.
And also, if I can add, I mean, when I get pitched for my podcast, I really enjoy receiving some personal emails, like someone who shows interest into, okay, so who my audience is and what value they can bring, but also showing that they've been listening to the podcast and they know what it's about and they have a story that's connected to it. As soon as I feel that, well, of course, I have no problem connecting with the person. But when I feel it's pitched or it could be sent to anybody else that doesn't necessarily have the same topic as me, then I'm not attracted to that kind of message.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that. I mean, one of like a saying that I say all the time is that, you know, people care about you when you care about them. That is really the secret. Like, how can someone to take notice and care about me? Well, show them first that you care. And so when someone is, you know, in this case, pitching a podcast like yours, you know, if they just say, oh, hey, I love your podcast, that's very generic. We don't know if it was just copy and paste to, yes. you know, 50 other hosts. But if they talk about, I really like your approach, I really love a past interview, here's an idea I have after listening to multiple episodes of yours, or just anything to make it feel genuine, then you're automatically more interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And talking about this, it made me think while listening to you, I was wondering if when you were not in business, like let's say, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, the type of
I'm not that old. Well, I'm in my 30s now. Like 20 years ago. Okay.
Exactly. When you were still a kid. That's what I'm curious to know. Yeah. When you were still a kid, like, do you remember playing a game that would look like what you're doing today? Like, would you think about what you would become later as, let's say, a publicist or someone helping others? And would you play that game when you were a kid?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really play any games like that. I would say, I'm trying to think about, you know, kind of early signs I would do the kind of work that I'm doing now. In high school, I was such a nerd. I loved to read books and study, and I was really interested in philosophy and ideas mm-hmm. and, you know, understanding the connections between, you know, different ideas. I love to analyze things and write papers. So I was always very intellectually curious, and I would read a lot of advanced feminist texts, and all of my papers were always about women and power and social dynamics. So I was always cool. interested in people and gender and, yeah. you know, women's rights. So that was definitely huge in high school. And then when I went to college, I studied women's studies and also Asian studies, but all of my papers I wrote for my East Asian studies classes were all about women and gender roles and social dynamics. So it's something that I've always been super interested in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I guess another thing that I've noticed, like in high school and all, or actually more in college and also in business school, I was always somebody who was able to get things off the ground really quickly. Mm-hmm. So there's this test called Colby, which talks about how you act in work, one of my highest out of the four is quick starts, my second, but I am really quick at getting ideas off of the ground and taking action. And I also, I would say driven to making things happen and achievement. So it always feels good for me to make a connection between someone, mm-hmm. to offer coaching advice, and just because, you know, you get like that instant gratification right away yeah. of, you know, someone having the aha moment or putting two people together and they're able to work together in a particular way. So, yeah, I definitely think there's been a history of kind of the me being interested in this kind of work. When I start my business from day one, originally I started as a publicist, and then I stopped doing that and I became a coach, publicity coach, and then kind of a business and publicity coach. And I did wonder, like, you know, would it be more business coaching than publicity? Mm-hmm. But when I look at my roots, I've always been really excited about elevating people that have got amazing ideas and yeah. who are looking to change the world and help people through their work. And mm-hmm. so I would say that my biggest passion is helping people get more visibility and attention and really helping them be seen as that go-to leader so they can reach and help more people.
Mm-hmm. And just with that story, Selena, like, you just proved that since a young age, you were already interested into knowing more about human beings, connections, women, empowerment. So helping people like express themselves and have more visibility and bring or show their mission to the world. So it's completely congruent. And as you know, I mean, we see a lot of people online, and some people sometimes are not necessarily connected with the message that they're trying to say. So we could feel that there's congruence between like what you are and what you express. So I guess that's why also a lot of people are attracted to your message and want to jump in, you know, when you have something to offer.
Yeah, I definitely feel lucky. And I think that you're right. You know, it's because I'm really aligned with mm-hmm. what I'm doing. And as a business owner, sometimes it's hard to figure out, like, what do you really stand for? And what yeah. is, you know, your particular area of genius mm-hmm. that you want to share with the world. And it's definitely, you know, been a process of self-discovery. And I think that if I was, you know, promoting the wrong thing or helping people in not a way that really touched on my bigger strengths, and I don't think I would have made this kind of progress in my business.
Mm-hmm. And before I let you go here, Selena, I'm curious because since you've had all these accomplishments in business, I'm curious to know what message you would have told your, let's say, your 16, 20-year-old self, something that you know today about either life or about business that at that age you ignored.
Sure. I do like that question because in college I was kind of tormented. I really wanted to figure out what to do with my life, and I didn't really have many role models. You know, I went to Columbia University, and at the time it seemed like people took one of two main paths. Either they did consulting or finance, something that was very, you know, lucrative and more numbers based, or they worked for Teach for America, and that was, you know, nonprofit mm-hmm. and not getting paid much and all of that. And I was really just dying to find role models, people that were really successful, you know, in business or creative endeavors, and also giving back, and whose lives and careers were full of meaning. Mm-hmm. And I eventually created a conference around that topic and brought role models like that together. So, but it was also because I really needed that for myself. And, you know, I was even just looking to like, oh, like there's a celebrity and they're doing a lot to give back and really admiring that. Or there's this, you know, business person who's involved in, you know, a charity or this or that, and really like craving that. And mm-hmm. I think it's exciting because now when I look at my career, I'm really doing what I want to do, but also giving back and helping people is like at the center of every single thing I do every day. So I think sometimes I do think we need role models because we need inspiration to see what's possible. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize at that age that I would eventually be in a place where I can really create my own career. You know, because you think like, okay, I need to find the right job.
Yeah.
The job, and I plug myself into it. So I didn't know that I was going to be an entrepreneur. So I guess the advice I would give is just that I didn't need to worry so much and be so tormented, that, you know, everything would figure itself out as long as I really stayed true to myself and really was just constantly reassessing things and taking, you know, steps in the right direction.
Yeah. And that's a good lesson here because I know what you mean when you say that you were definitely trying to find what suits you best or what you would do in your life. I mean, I know there's a lot of people in that place right now and asking themselves, am I doing the right thing? Am I true to myself? What's my mission? What should I do? And stuff like that. But yes, with time and with following your leaders or learning or reading or just evolving as a person, well, we definitely find our voice one day, and yeah, we can own it and do our business with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if people want to connect with you, Selena, where should they go online?
Sure. They can go to my website, selenasoo.com. That's SelenaSoo.com. Also, I have a program that opens once a year called Impacting Millions. And it's a program for mission-driven entrepreneurs who want to reach more people and change the world through the power of publicity. And so they can go to selenasoo.com/impactingmillions, and they can get on the wait list. Or if doors happen to be open, they can check out the program then. But if they go to selenasoo.com/impactingmillions, they can learn more there.
All right. Thank you so much. That was such a pleasant interview, Selena, and filled with great value, and also felt good, I'm sure, for a lot of people looking to find their mission and, you know, start their online business. Thanks.
Thank you, Fabienne.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Selena, and I totally invite you to implement some or all of the strategies that we shared with you during this episode, because it will make you a better online business owner, and also it will totally expand your reach. So if you appreciate listening to this podcast, I really invite you to leave a rating and review on iTunes, because when you do so, people find us more easily. And yeah, it's good for the show. Plus, well, I love reading them and it keeps me going day after day, week after week, to deliver value to you and to help you build your online business and help you become a better person, a better online business owner. So I totally feel that this year has started pretty well, and I hope that it has done the same for you. I am sending you positive vibes, courage, implementation, right, and high goals, and completely you'll be able to accomplish them. I believe in you. I know that sometimes as entrepreneurs, we might feel kind of lonely in our world, but there are so many people like you who decided to own their lives and go for a higher purpose, build their online business, and experiment that true freedom and expressing who they truly are to the world. So I hope you're crushing it in your business right now, and I'll see you again next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care, right?